Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Red Men TV. It's time for the match preview as Liverpool get their Europa League campaign underway against LASK. Delighted I'm joined by Jay Pearson and Alex Adeyatrot to talk through LASK versus Liverpool. And Alex, it's fair to say, mate, this isn't the competition we wanted to be in. But we're in it. Let's go and win it. I suppose that's the feeling that everyone's got, isn't it, really? We aren't where we want to be, but fuck it. Wow. We're here. Let's make the best of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at this year as like a nostalgia year. This is like, let's enjoy what we saw in 2001, 2009, 2016. Listen, we want to be in the Champions League, but I'm just here to enjoy it. And a 5:45 kickoff on a Thursday, I'm not mad at that. Because yeah. It kind of means your work's done by 8, 9, and you don't have to be working into the small hours of the morning. So there's a lot of positive to look at. I'm hoping we can get a nice trip to Seville, maybe a Betis in the round of 32.
Not Seville.
Well, they might jump into the Europa League if they finish third. But we've got to get that over them. But yeah, a nice couple of trips would be nice. But obviously the aim is to go to Dublin and win it. But obviously, we want to be in the Champions League, Steve, but I'm actually quite calm. I'm quite happy about it.
It is what it is.
One year won't hurt, will it?
Exactly.
Can't be in the final and lose every year, can we?
It is what it is, Jay. And this is the thing with the competition, mate. It does throw up a couple of competitions. And funny enough, James in the chat, another James we were speaking off air, how much you like other Jameses, says, is it fringe players' time, or do you think he'll play some starting players? And that's the quandary we've got here, because Europa League, what does Jürgen do? Because he likes speaking about keeping players in rhythm and the same players who like playing twice a week and their bodies are used to it and the training schedule works around it. The other side is injuries and stuff like that. There is a fine balance. Like, it's not the League Cup where he will just make wholesale changes. The Europa League, it's 6 games. It's a competition you want to win. I've got a feeling, like, I've heard some conversations about like the teams Liverpool may and might not pick in this one. I think he's going to, not completely strong, but I think they're going to be strong Liverpool teams.
I agree. I think you're going to see a combination, and if you're going to make changes, and you'll see the seriousness of how much to take in the competition, the first couple of games is where you're going to do that, because, for example, we could put out a second string team, if you like, on Thursday, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong and you go, right, these opponents, because we don't know much about them, you go, they're actually pretty decent, so let's just be a bit more cautious. But yeah, I think it's going to be a case for, you know, you test a few people. I see, you know, likes of Ben Doke probably play a bit more, Tsimikas will probably a bit more, there's rumours about Kelleher going to be the goalkeeper for Europe, so I don't be surprised about every team sheet. I don't think we're, you know, in the Champions League it was always a case of, right, your strongest 11 every single game. I think you have time to play around with it, and I agree with what Alex said, you know, it's enjoy it, just it takes the pressure off Europe, because we are probably the favourites for it.
By,
you know, we should be winning this competition, even with making the changes. But, you know, Europa League anthem's better than the Champions League anthem. I prefer the colour scheme in the Europa League, you know what I mean?
I'll stand with you on
it's
that.
It's a nice looking trophy. I like the VARs.
Anything to make us feel better.
Not too bad. The song is not too bad.
Like I said, just enjoy it, man. Just enjoy it. We're coming up against teams that we've never seen before. Completely different grounds. It's a different kind of experience.
I suppose I'll as well, like, we've seen Jürgen in the past rest players in the league to save them for Champions League. He's not going to do that here. Like that'll never be the case here, which goes, it makes you look ahead to Thursday's game. We'll have a little look at it now. And Tim, I was trying to think before, West Ham's a big game at the weekend. Now, there's no advantage or disadvantage really, because they're playing in Europe on the exact same night. So there's nothing in that. We're at home on Sunday, which obviously helps. But I was saying before, I think Liverpool might be pretty strong, but also there's the case of you don't want to, anyone who's got anything, slight knocks, niggles, whatever, you just don't risk them in this competition, yeah. Which isn't something they have the luxury of doing in the Champions League.
Yeah, there's just so much pressure, isn't there, in the Champions League? It's every single game is a must win, even the away games. You know, they say in the Champions League, 6 group games, if you win all your home games, you can afford to draw the rest. But sometimes the group is so tough that you can't afford to even do that. So with this set of teams that we're playing against now, yeah, anyone that's looking to maybe pick up some rest, give them that. I wouldn't play Nunes in this game at all. I'd have him, you know, fit and ready for Sunday, because I do believe, you know, he starts that one on Sunday. But yeah, anyone with a little niggle, any slight risks, just leave them at home. But again, we've still got enough players to go there and do a job. With all due respect to Lask, I'm still expecting us to win here. Yeah. But they are on a decent run of form. I don't know if you've seen that.
I was speaking to Tom from the other Bundesliga podcast on Oppo Preview for Edmund Plus, and he was saying like Lask are probably the worst pot two team in terms of, like, he said really they're not really a pot two team. It's just how the rankings work on where you finish in your group and stuff, Jay. With that being said, like, there's a value, and I was going through the fixtures before. First of all, you never want to come second in the group because there's an extra knockout game to play. Man United figured out last year, didn't they, when they had to go and play that. Yeah. You don't want that. Mm. Second of all, games 5 and 6, November 30th and then mid-December. Like, there is a theory where you could go relatively more strong, just try and win 4 out of 4, get yourself top of the group almost, and then just knock them ones on the head. That would be like the ideal situation of how all this pans out if you could plan it that way.
Absolutely. And like I said before, you know, you're going to see the teams that he's going to put out, and we're going to find out exactly how serious he's going to take it. But I like what you said before about you've got to think about what we're going to be doing on the Sunday, because the league is the priority. But again, just... It's quite a nice way of like playing the League Cup every week, because you still know that even your League Cup side is probably still going to go quite deep with the competition.
Absolutely. Let's have a look at teams then. I'll say, at time recording, Jürgen hasn't had his press conference yet. That's tonight. So yeah, bear that in mind. If you're listening to this, maybe on Thursday, Jürgen's updated you on a couple of things. The first one, I was thinking Alisson might be in goal, Alex, but I was reading The Athletic today. Greg Evans wrote a piece and he was like, the heads up of the day by this, that it's probably going to be Kelleher's competition, which again is a move away from the norm. Kelleher usually gets the League Cup, not even, doesn't really get the FA Cup anymore, really. It's often just the League Cup he got. Can you see a world where Keeves in goal for the at least for the start of the group stages?
I'm not mad at that. I think for him as well, some game time is, I mean, there was a lot of rumours that he was probably going to leave during the summer. So the fact that he's actually stayed, I guess, for us is great. I think maybe apart from David Raya, he's maybe the best number two in the league. I think he's saved 6 penalty shootouts in 18 appearances or something for Liverpool, which is just, it has to be our record. He might even go down as our best number two of all time by the time he does leave. But I don't think there's anything necessarily adverse about playing Quivine, in especially in the group stages. But if you give him the group stages, you have to pretty much give him the whole tournament. You can't do what we've done in the past where, you know, you've given the number two all the way up until the final and then you chuck Alisson in. I don't think that would be fair on Kelleher. So I'm happy with that. He's got enough experience now to know how to deal with these kind of situations. He's played for us in the Champions League before. So I think, give Alisson a little break. He deserves it.
I suppose, Jay, as well. Like, I was thinking, Alex mentioned before, he didn't leave in the summer. I do wonder, and again, this is just speculation, I wonder if he's had the nod and the wink. Listen, 6 Europa League games, they're yours. You know what I mean? Like, if you're looking to leave to go and play somewhere sound, but you can play 6 games in Europe for Liverpool, we'll give you the cups as well. So before you know it, there's 8 to 10 games, depending on how you do. I wonder if that's a conversation he had in the summer.
Definitely. And for him as a player, you know, he's going to go to, if he did leave, he'd go to somewhere where they're not playing Europa League football. He's not going to go to another sort of top 6-7 side and be the number one starter. So for him, he's thinking, right, well, this is my chance to play more European football more regularly. And I think the League Cup run, when we won it, that has given everybody, not just everyone at the club, I think everyone as a fan base, the confidence to go, yeah, chuck him in. Because we've never really had that before, and he did himself a huge favour that season, and fair play to him.
It's not like it's Peggy Arfock said.
I know, yeah, just picking up 5 trophies by sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
Get Adrian in goal
with his trackies on.
Don't want that. Let's move forwards then. Defensively, we'll try and work this one out. Alex, you mentioned before, anyone with a niggle probably shouldn't be near this one. That probably... Trent, don't worry about Trent.
Oh no, leave him.
Ibu was deemed unfit, so there's a, I know he came on, but maybe there's a question about him. Kwanza had a bit of cramp, so we don't know where he's at. I've got a sneaky feeling anyway, Virgil might be captain of Liverpool in this one. he hasn't played for Liverpool for a few weeks. I know he had a couple of games for the Netherlands, but
yeah,
wouldn't be shocked if Virgil started.
I wouldn't be shocked. I think it's almost a case of, well, everyone else has either got niggles or they're coming back, so he almost has to play.
Yeah.
So, and Gomez is at right back, and I guess Matip comes in then as well. Yeah, Van Dijk, obviously he's going to play on Sunday as well, so a decent opportunity to get some minutes in the legs before, you know, the mighty Mikel Antonio comes to Anfield.
I'm so scared of him.
Who don't say that because you might actually score. So, so yeah, I think Virgil comes in and captains the team, which actually goes against our argument really of playing, you know, a slightly less experienced team.
Different when you've circumstances, got, yeah, like different, you said, he's been suspended.
Yeah, 100%, so it's a little bit different. But
he could probably do with the game.
He could probably do with the game. Obviously, we don't want him to do anything silly, get any injuries coming up for Sunday, but we're kind of backed into a corner of playing him. We kind of have to. So I'm not against it, but ideally, I think if everyone was fit, I would have picked probably Konate and Kwanzaa, potentially.
I would like to see Kwanzaa, Jay, as well. And again, he went down with cramp. We don't know how he is. Obviously, that was early Saturday. Thursday's a big gap. You know, so hopefully, if it was just cramp, I'd love to see him get another game. You know, I had people saying to me the other day, like, they wouldn't mind him playing centre if he was playing ahead of Matip from now on. I know it's a very early days, I think it'd be nice if he could get another game here, and especially if it was alongside Virgil. Now the difference there is, of course, they both play on the left, so you might have to do something, but it would be nice if Kwanzaa's fit. I think he deserves another shot at it, really.
Completely agree. He again did himself no harm the last few games, so I'd be sticking him in definitely, mate. Yeah,
Costas left back, everyone.
It's gotta be, I mean, if
he's not going to play now, and when and also Andy Robbo's played a lot of footy.
That's what I mean. Just give him a rest. Though,
if what's his name, Conor Bradley
was fit,
would you have played him?
Yeah, I think he'd definitely. Have been. Yeah, I think Gomez would have been.
I love Conor Bradley.
I think Gomez would have been centre back, wouldn't he? In the Europa League, probably in it. But yeah,
I'm gutted about that.
Which actually, if you look at it, that's an experienced back line.
It is.
This is what I was trying to say. Liverpool's backup options actually quite strong, and we might as well move into the midfield now. Alex, I'll start with you. There's a lot of players here who haven't actually played too much minutes. You could get game times for. Let's talk if Liverpool are going to play a proper number six, which we think they probably will. Endo's there, Bajcetic is there. They're probably the two. Alexis had a stinker the other day. Maybe they want to get that out of his system. I don't know. But who are you thinking? I personally want to see Bajcetic.
That's what I was going to say as well.
But at some point, Endo's got to play. You know, it's a difficult. I mean, you might go half-y-half. You might go, I mean, Bajcetic can't play further forward, I guess. But what do you see him doing at number six?
He could do a 45 minutes of Bajcetic and then bring Endo on, obviously, depending how the game goes. Gravenberch can play there as well, but I think European away games, you play an out-and-out number six. I would go Stefan. I know there's an argument to say, well, when's Endo going to play? He'll get his game time, I'm pretty sure of that. He's already, you know, come in and done fairly well, considering the situation he was thrown into. Yeah. He dealt well with it. But I saw Stefan celebrating on the bench on Sunday, and I just feel like it's his time now. He's done the injury part, waiting to come back, which hasn't actually happened for him yet. I think we haven't seen him play since March, April. And before that, from what, November, well, maybe just when the World Cup ended to April, he was playing pretty much every game.
Yeah, that's why he got injured.
So I'd go with him.
Yeah,
I think Endo... Is there a world where they both play in midfield?
Yeah, well, Bajcetic can play as an eight, and you've got KJSJ who says Endo would therefore start, and he says it has to be Endo. My thinking on the Endo one, Jay, and the Bajcetic thing is, I don't think Endo needs the minutes really. I think Bajcetic could do with the minutes. Like, I think Endo's, he's been playing regular football for a while now. Like Alex said, Bajcetic hasn't really kicked the ball in vain since April. He had a little run out for Spain's under-21s, I think, playing centre-back. I think he really could do with it. Now, again, if Endo isn't going to play, then when is he going to play? But again, there's a world where you play both. But I personally, if it was me, I want to see Stefan Bajcetic on the pitch, at least get an hour under him, because he is going to be needed soon, and you don't want his next appearance being just thrown into a bigger game kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. You know, if you're going to win all these competitions, you need a big squad, and all your squad needs the experience. And, you know, if you stick to the same 11 all the time, which, you know, can work, tried and tested, but when you do get that mistake or you get an error, you just be like, right, he comes in now, but he's had no minutes for months. You go, oh, and the confidence just drains out of everybody. So these games are perfect for us to utilise the many great options we've got in midfield. And, you know, so I agree with the comments. You know, I would like to see Endo play to embed him in from the start, 45 minutes, maybe 90. Nobody's been sent off, you know, give him a proper good game of footy. But again, I think the way Bajcetic played last season.
If we go 4-2-3-1, we could start them both.
Absolutely. Yeah. Ola Kunle, I think that I've probably got your name wrong there, says, I think Endo and Stefan will both play with Elliot as a midfield three. He said that Bajcetic does offer you the chance he can play as eight as well, Alex. Mm. My thinking on the eight, here's the options. I think Harvey has to start.
Yeah.
At some point, he's been so good off the bench, I think he deserves a start. I wouldn't be surprised if he started all six Europa League games. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad at that. I think so far this season, out of Curtis and Harvey, Curtis has maybe featured more. But as you say, when Harvey's come on, I mean, he's changed the games, really. In the Newcastle game, pretty much every game he's come on in.
But you not stick to that, though? Is that something that you stick to at the
minute? I think for him,
yeah.
But listen, again, I don't want to start is this narrative of Elliot is only a sub player.
Absolutely.
Now. He's more than capable of starting 75% of our games, as is Curtis Jones, by the way. I saw a stat yesterday. I think there's been 14 games since Kurt came in towards the end of last season, and we've won 10 of them, drawn 4. Yeah. So there goes to show that, you know, we can rely on him. He's played 100 games for Liverpool now. But yeah, the thing is, when we've bought the Gravenberks, the McAllisters, the Soboslays, the Endos, you kind of actually forget, well, Bajcetic can start games, Harvey Elliott can start games, Curtis Jones can start games, which is a good headache to have.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to get into this narrative of, you know, only bring on Harvey. I actually agree with you. I think if you said to him, you are starting, or actually just make this your competition season. Go and win us this.
I wanted it to be Thiago's competition. I don't think he's going to be back, unfortunately, shock horror, for this one.
I love that guy more than anyone, trust me. Like, that performance against United in 2022, up there with the best midfield performances I've seen. But I'm starting to get a little bit, come on now.
Yeah.
Like, we heard he'd be back after the international break. The Monday comes round after that, he's not ready yet. It's just very obvious he's going to leave at the end of the season. But I want a 4 or 5 world-class sightings of him before. Yeah. He's like the Loch Ness Monster. Like, you see him and you think, wow, come and look at this. What? There's nothing there, mate. What are you on about?
He's the John Cena of footy, isn't he?
He can't see it. It's not quite
you can't play me.
he isn't quite fit, I don't think, for this one.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You met a couple of times, the people in the comment section as well, I've asked this one, Jay. Gravenberch, could be the perfect opportunity to give him a full debut. I think he should have scored at the weekend. I wish he'd have shot.
Should have scored. Yeah.
Would that have been his first touch? Maybe his second touch?
Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, fair enough, he showed some silky skills in the box, but it's a good opportunity again to bed him and get him some minutes. Again, he came on right wing, so maybe that's an option, but you think a midfield three of whoever, either Endo or Bicetic, Harvey Elliott perhaps, and Ryan Gravenberch.
Mm. I'd be happy with that. Bicetic, Elliott and Gravenberch, definitely. Definitely start him now. Not as much pressure on the lad. If you started against West Ham, it's a bit more pressure on him. But yeah, I'd start him, definitely.
Would you all?
Yeah, I think I would, actually. It would be interesting to see him playing in his natural position, which I think is more advanced than maybe sitting more. And I think, you know, the fact that we went for him over and out number six, even though we still needed a number six, shows us that this kid can play in a variety of positions. I was listening to what Ajax fans said about him before he went to Bayern Munich, and they were so complimentary of him. They've actually made money on him, even though he's had a poor spell at Bayern.
So there's
something definitely there. And yeah, maybe this is the game. But then if you play him, you know, there's other lads that you could potentially leave out in his absence. I wouldn't be mad at it. But I expect a lot of changes in the second half, though.
Five shots.
I've got to say that.
One of the most important things about this midfield is whatever he puts out tomorrow, I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. Do you know what I mean? I'm not
there is
like,
no midfield three that we go, why is he playing?
Correct. Because of the opposition, obviously.
The only way you'd be doing that is if I don't want Szoboszlai, but I love Szoboszlai, but I think he's played every single minute.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll want to play.
He's an animal. Of course, he'll want to.
I love that guy. Man.
King Mo would say he would go for Endo with Gravenberch and Elliott in front of him, which again,
like
and Gavin says, I'm looking forward to seeing Gravenberch. And yeah, that's what my actually, I think I would like to see him play. Andy, I'd start with Grav, Endo and Harvey. You've got Sobers like Curtis and Bicetic, all as options off the bench. You've got Alexis McAllister in there as well. Over on the Discord, Quadbod says he thinks it'll be Elliott, Endo and Gravenberch. He says I will play Robbo left back and Tsimikas on the right. Kostas right back is a mad one.
I'm not sure about that one.
I think Kostas has to play left back. I don't think Robbo, there's no way I'd have Andy Robbo on this one.
No, definitely not. Time for Kostas.
Saving for
it's more. He's played a lot. He's done a lot of minutes, and for Scotland as well. Yeah. Let's look at the forward line then, Alex. That's the next one, really, because this show is almost building a team, because that's what kind of it is. Usually, if this is a Premier League game, you could probably, you know, 7, 8, 9 of the starters, and you're just going, well, who's the other midfielder, and which other two strikers, except Mo Salah, are playing? It's different in the Europa League. Jay mentioned Ben Doak as the right winger.
100%.
Mo Salah, you mentioned about Szoboszlai will want to play. Mo Salah will want to play. Whether you've got to look after him a little bit himself, I don't know. What do you see him doing in the forward line? Because he's got six really good options, obviously.
I think if you start Ben Doak, he doesn't bring Salah on in that position. Whereas if you start Salah, you can obviously bring Ben Doak in. But Ben Doak deserves this.
Oh, he signed his new contract, didn't he?
Signed his new contract yesterday. I'm buzzing for him. If now isn't the perfect opportunity to start him, then when is?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my question, because what we've seen of him so far, he's almost created this signature. Have you seen the thing where he gets the defender really tight to him and lets the ball go through his legs and he's gone? That's how can you have a signature like that at 6? Mm-hmm. And he was doing that at 16. He's only just turned 17. He did it to Luka Dean at Aston Villa away last year. Sent him. So he has to start. He has to start. And I think Salah obviously will want to start as well. But sometimes you just put your arm around him and go, listen, mate, don't worry about this.
Yes, let someone else go.
Right, come on, man. Let someone else have a
but
go.
But I still love that, the fact that Salah's going, right.
But that's what makes him what he
make
is,
records,
mate.
Yeah.
That is,
make records again.
Honestly, and has he scored for Liverpool in the Europa League? He's never
played
for Liverpool in the Europa League. But he will want to become the top scorer in the Europa League.
Absolutely. I suppose it's easier thing to start Doak, Jay, and then bring Salah on. Bring Salah off.
Exactly.
Because I think it always makes sense there. A couple of people, Johnny said he'd go for Jota, Nunes, Doak. James has gone Doak, Salah and Jota. How would that work?
Salah front. I wouldn't play Nunes in this one though. I'm going to say that now. I'd have Jota in with Doak on the sides, but then up the front, through the middle, I'm easy.
I think I would go Gakpo actually. I know he scored the other day, but I don't think it's quite click for him this season, Jay. Over that goal, he's done him in the world of good.
Yeah.
But I still think he could do with a little bit more from him. I think I would go Gakpo, Doak.
Jota?
Diaz. When he played half an hour, he was at 45.
Brilliant,
he was excellent again.
He was.
And you've got to remember, whatever option you, whatever you choose, there's no bad option. But I think Doak's the one. I would love to see Ben Doak start.
Definitely. I think that's the one we can all agree on. That's definitely not. And again, I would love to see Jota start a game of footy again. I just think he's brilliant. You know, just more regularly, because he's just got that striker's instinct that I really like. Because when he started against Wolves, you know, he had a bit of a tough time, but I thought he did okay. But, you know, just going back to the Nunes thing, again, you know, strikers love confidence.
Yeah.
So, you know, they thrive on it. So if he plays against this team and he can get a couple of goals, who knows what that can do for his confidence as well. Because I know he obviously built that up against Newcastle, plays against Villa, unlucky not to get a brace, and then he's out the side again. So there's sort of like this, it's the only thing that worries me a little bit at the minute with the in and out that he's doing. So again, if Nunes started against him, I wouldn't be surprised and I wouldn't be unhappy either.
I suppose, Alex, this is one where you can look ahead and you can say, who's your starting three for West Ham? You play the other three here. That's why I think Salah won't. I wouldn't start Salah. I think I would go Doak. It depends what he wants to do against West Ham.
Diaz starts at West Ham because he was so good the other day.
Do you think Nunes starts on Sunday?
See, I'd go with Gakpo on the
really?
Middle. Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Because last season, Nunes scored his first goal at Anfield against West Ham. We won 1-0. I think he's just ready to start now. So I just wouldn't have him in the squad at all.
Yeah, again, it depends. I think this depends on what he's got. I do think the front three is one where you, for Sunday, you go, well, who, maybe you give.
Because Diaz is definitely starting on Sunday. So is Salah.
So you might give them half an hour on Thursday off the bench, maybe if you want
to keep them going.
Yeah, to keep them maybe. But it is an interesting one, Jay, isn't it? Really, like, that's the quandary that the Europa League does throw up sometimes.
Yeah.
What I would say there, mate, just in general, and we all had conversations over the summer, and I still think for the most part, we were still probably one defender short, and we're seeing that now already. The fact that Van Dijk might have to play isn't ideal. Other than that, it does show the strength and depth of the squad is pretty strong at the moment. You know, some players we haven't even discussed. You know, Curtis Jones is definitely an option, and Szoboszlai, there's lots going on there. But if Liverpool put out the team that we suggested, which is Kelleher, Tsimikas, say Kwanzaa, Van Dijk, Gomez, Endo, Gravenberch, Elliot, Doak, let's just say, for example, Jota and Gakpo. That's a strong Liverpool side.
Very strong side. I mean,
compared to Liverpool's changed 11s of the past, that's up there.
Yeah.
I know the under-21s played yesterday, for example, and Bobby Clark was in that team, so he's not going, which in years gone by, I reckon he might have done. I don't think we're going to see too much of any young players in this competition other than Ben Doak, just because there's so many first-team strong options who need minutes.
Exactly. When was the last time that happened? It's a far cry from last year, isn't it? Where we were, you know, chomping at the bit to try and get some players in, and we were sort of looking around for scraps and stuff like that. It's a very, very strong position that the club's in right now, and long may it continue. Young players will get their opportunities at some point, you know, League Cup games and stuff like that, and maybe if we are smashed these games in the first three or four, you can give some of them the opportunity towards the end. But yeah, it's a great situation to be in, and like I said, long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely. It is weird, like the quarter six thing. It is just, it is weird. Like, I was mad, I didn't know Newcastle were off here. That's a thing now. And I sat down, I had my tea, turned the telly, and I was like, it was half time, I think. I went to watch the build up. I was like, what the hell? They played at half already. We are going to have to get our
heads. I don't mind it, man.
I think all the away games are 5:45 UK time kickoffs.
I don't mind that at all.
Depending where you are in the world, that could be good, could be bad. I mean, there'll be some places where, like, you're having your breakfast watching it, I suppose, the Europa League games. Obviously, the home games are going to be normal kickoffs.
Do you know
times.
What I miss though? 7:45 kickoffs.
Yeah,
that 15 minutes as a content creator, you'll know.
Oh, mate,
like that, it does make a
especially
difference.
Especially with these other times.
Yeah,
mate, we're finishing late. Watch alongs are 100 minutes.
Yeah,
I don't think UEFA have adopted those things. Thankfully, speaking of the game, by the way, Daz has asked us a question. Says who's doing the game tomorrow on the channel, Steve? Well, I can tell you that, Daz. You've got Chloe and Chris on the watch along. Dan will be on all the post match stuff as well. Paul's actually on his way as we speak over to Austria via trains, planes and automobiles. The way he's getting there is a joke. Keep an eye on Major TV for Paul's travel vlogs of, I think he's going via Germany. I think he's coming home via Portugal. the things
how has that worked?
Yeah, the
there?
Things that Liverpool fans that's go mad. Through to go and see their team. So that's the plan for the Redmen team. But speaking of the Redmen on the pitch then, Alex, I say Redmen, they're playing in purple. First time in the purple.
Purple rain.
It's hard. Lask might be a bit of an unknown quantity. I was speaking to, again, Tom from the other guys. The other Bundesliga podcast. He covers Austrian football for UEFA, and he said, like, this is like the biggest game for Lask. They got Man United in the last, but obviously COVID, it was behind closed doors and the protocol.
Is that the game when Ighalo scored?
Yeah, so they got, it was the first ever game behind closed doors.
That was it, yeah.
It was just before the first COVID break. Yeah. And I think by the time they played the next one, it was all behind right. closed doors kind of stuff. This is a massive game for them as well, but you'd expect Liverpool, whether it's, you know, 15,000 Austrians baying for blood or whatever it is, you'd still expect to win, surely. It would be a massive disappointment and a shock if they didn't get 3 points.
Of course. And do you know what? This is why I actually like the Europa League, because, you know, we can go to a Milan, we can go to a Madrid, we can go to Atletico, we can go to all these big teams. It's not their biggest day in their lives, is it? But for LASK, it almost makes us feel like, well, let's respect them, because this is, financially, it's going to be huge for them. There's millions of eyes on the team. They get their 15 minutes of fame. And I'm happy for their fans that they get to see, you know, the Reds come into town. Or the Purples come into town, I should say. And again, this is the part of football that I think is sometimes undermined or missed when you're in these big competitions. Yeah. You actually forget about how beneficial a game like this. I mean, for us, it's put the kids out. But for them, it's like, right, let's get the fine china out. Liverpool come into town. This is the biggest day we've ever... I like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You listen, you can still... I remember when we played, was it Malmo? We beat them 8-0 or 9-0 in that orange kit in 17-18.
That was at Maribor.
There you go, Maribor. So again, that was in the Champions League, but it's not rare that you get... it is rare that you get that. So the romantic kind of aspect, the storytelling bit of it, I'm quite fond of that.
Jay, what we've just spoke about there was it being a relatively experienced lineup in terms of age. There's not many kids in that team. There's not players there who should be overawed by anything. They can go away to Europe. Even if it was just a team full of kids, you could be worried about, you know, traveling Europe. Yeah. Maybe it is quite hostile. I don't know exactly how hostile.
Maybe there's a train going through the ground.
All that kind of stuff. I know. Yeah, Linz isn't exactly the easiest place to get to anyway. You worry about even with like Tsimikas and Endo, Van, like these experience.
It's the important thing is to have the experience, and we've got that in abundance. Whatever team we put out against them. So again, like Alex said, be an absolute shock, and it'll be tragic if we do come away without a win. So.
Absolutely, because this is technically on paper, Alex, the hardest game of the group. Really, I don't think it is, just because I think LASK ends up in pot two again. More by the way it works out, coefficients wise, it's not. But if you can go away and win your first one, all of a sudden you've got your back to back games coming up soon. You play Uni, you play Toulouse a couple of times, and then you can get yourself through, and then you don't have to worry about those last couple of games. Liverpool don't ideally. I think the LASK group game is just before they play Man United. They don't want, you know,
you want it wrapped up by
they don't want no messing about, like, yeah, no silliness here, really. First thing first, win the game, no injuries, hopefully, job done, be a professional performance. That's what we want to see from Liverpool, because if you look at the coefficients and stuff, we are miles the best team in this competition by far. Get through the group and then go and win it, obviously find out who comes out the Champions League, but it's got to be a professional job, and I would suggest that these lads are all very professional driven lads. I don't see any mentality problems here.
I don't think Jürgen allows them to become complacent or underestimate the opponent, no matter who it is. You know, if we go 1-0 down, you're going to see him screaming on the touchline. That's just how he is. I think when you're looking at, you know, like, as you said, the games that we've still got to come, we've got two home games after this. So let's say, for instance, touch wood, that we're well clear with 9 points. We can go to Toulouse, almost, you know, get a draw there if it comes down to it. And then that period in December, I think there's Man United, Chelsea and Arsenal all within the week. So if I was Jurgen Klopp, I'd be saying, right, let's just wrap this up by game week 4. Maybe we can really experiment game week 5 and 6. And then that's, you know, the key period in the Premier League where we've got, I think, 2 of those 3 games are at home. So as you said, just get them done. No complacency, no injuries. Come back with all the 3 points. I wouldn't be too adverse to maybe winning the game 4-1. You know, at least they get their goal and they can have put it on a DVD or something. So yeah, just professional is the word, but don't get overawed, don't get... Or the opposite, don't undermine the situation as well.
And that's the last one I was going to say, Jay, is that it is a massive game for LASK. We're all sitting here and we're quite blasé. We're picking.
How do you think they would feel, their fans, watching us preview this game?
Yeah,
right,
I think that's what I'm saying. That's what I would say, is that you don't want to be disrespectful. We're saying we'll make changes. You wouldn't play, you know, Liverpool, you might change your goalie or you might not play Mo Salah. But for Lask, it's a huge opportunity. It's a massive scalp. The money involved, I was speaking again. I think if you draw in the Europa League, the prize money is worth sometimes, you know, and Lask have our financial issues. They're not like, you know, the 10 years ago, they nearly were bust. Do you know what I mean? So like, it's a massive occasion for them as well.
Yeah.
That's what Liverpool have to be careful of here, is the complacency. We're speaking here like it's a foregone conclusion, but it's not.
No, it's not.
You've got to go, and you've got to go to another team's ground. You've got to go and get those points off, and you can't mess about.
No, you can't. Where did we go a couple of years ago when we won the Champions League and we got beat 2-0 away from home? They were in a purple kit then.
It's Red Star.
Red Star, there we go. Yeah. So I think it's quite a bit of a parallel to that, where we went...
The atmosphere there is probably going to be a bit different to
We don't know, do we?
Well, yeah.
We don't know. You said before about, you know, this is one of the biggest games of the history. So we were complacent then, and we had a lot better, you know, sort of, as you would say, the more starting 11. So it's a bit parallel to that. You know, not to jinx the purple kit already, like, but it, you know, it was the same, wasn't it? So, yeah. But, you know, no disrespect to them, but we are Liverpool Football Club at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Might as well go predictions then, Alex.
I think I'll stick with 4-1. Do they go ahead first? Do they? maybe I wouldn't wish that, but 4-0, and then they get a screamer. Let's give them a screamer. Why not?
Absolutely.
3-0 me. I'm going to go 3-0.
3-0. I think I go 3-0 as well. I think Liverpool.
And I
think
to give them any.
I don't think so. And I think
joy.
And I think Salah's actually going to score. I don't know if he's off the bench or he starts.
They're going to want Salah. They're going to want Van Dijk, Alisson all to play,
aren't
they?
Of course, why wouldn't he? You saw that, you know, when the draw was made, the big smile on the last guy's face. You saw the Union guys on the plane. It's massive for them.
I love that, though.
I do. I think
it's
great.
You don't get that in the Champions League, rarely, man.
But it's like the same with the FA Cup, isn't it? You know, when the teams from the lower leagues are looking at who they're going to get, and like, we got a Premier League team where they know they're getting beat, but it's a day out for them, and it's a chance for them to come to that.
Didn't Sutton get Arsenal? And then, you know, that goalkeeper who bet on himself eating the pie.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Lask are going to be that
What is the delicacy around Lask? Do you know?
Well, I just imagine it'll be Austria's national dish, won't it?
Yeah, but what is that? Austrian schnitzel.
Schnitzel, it's got to be schnitzel on it. Yeah.
Never. I'll be honest, I've never frequented Austria.
Just see Paul Machin.
The gaffer might show. You know, non poorly, I'll go to McDonald's. Honestly, the only fella I know, he went to Singapore and was eating big.
To be fair, in his defence, of course, try the local delicacy, but there's also a little thing in my head that says wherever you go in the world, try their McDonald's.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's going to be different, isn't it?
No,
it will be.
They do have unique options on the menu, don't they?
I was in Mallorca last week. You can get beer and like really up levels of McFlurries that you just wouldn't be able to get here.
I'll ask Porter a problem.
I've been to Bangkok Mackey's. It's 10 times better than us.
Perfect. Paul will, I'm sure, report back, but yeah, Thanks guys for coming in. Thanks all you guys for watching or listening. Like I did mention earlier on, the watch along for the game, you've got Chris and Chloe live on YouTube. After the fact, there'll be loads of post-game content, both on YouTube and again over on redmenplus.com. And keep an eye out on all the socials. Paul is over there as well. Keep an eye on Redmen and Mates TV. Basically, we're doing as much as we can to keep you guys content-driven and entertained throughout the Europa League run. Thanks very much for watching and listening. We'll be back soon. See you later.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.